Hey, you just heard J-Lo. This is Ben Affleck.
Tell me. Do you bleed?
God, was he out with producer Rami last night?
It was a big night for him and J-Lo, actually.
Yes.
Guys, 17 years after the first time that they were originally together. They're obviously back together. We know this.
Yeah.
But they've gotten married.
They did it.
They've gotten married. Bennifer have gotten married. Congratulations.
They finally did it. Yeah. They wanted to get married all those years ago and then called it quits.
So they didn't get married before?
No. They called up. They were engaged together. To be married. Okay. And it was called off because they were a little bit too in the public eye. They were sort of being followed around all the time.
Yes.
And they felt that their wedding was going to be compromised.
Yeah.
J-Lo said when they had a conversation where they realised they were arranging 3 decoy brides in 3 separate locations, she went, I think this is all going a bit awry.
Right.
Let's not.
Okay.
So when they called it off, everyone, of course, went, oh, mate, it's all over.
Trouble.
And then their breakup soon followed.
Right. And they went off and did different things, married different partners. And Ben Affleck was with Jennifer Garner for a little while.
Yes.
Jennifer Lopez with Mark Anthony for a while. I was a big fan of Mark Anthony, by the way. I really like this song.
And this is the musician as opposed to the man responsible for assassinating Julius Caesar, Mark Anthony.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. This
is 17 years ago, not 1700 years ago.
Nasty past. She doesn't like to bring it up.
No.
But what we'd like to know is, did you and your ex give it another crack?
Okay.
Did you Bennifer it up? Because they've not only just gotten back together, but they've gone to the Little White Chapel in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and they've taken the vows. And then the chips on the way out, obviously, at the casino. And they are all in. All in. 17 years later.
Have you ever gone back to an ex? Because I know it's that thing of like, oh, you know, you've broke up for a reason. Do you really want to revisit the past? I'm sure for some people it works out.
Oh, I've done it once and it didn't work.
No.
Yeah.
You know too much.
Yeah.
I did it and it worked.
Yeah?
And Liz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah.
So, a couple of times we like went our separate ways. Was that
because you just suddenly thought, I'm going to get out and play the field?
It was nothing about
suddenly,
playing the field,
Kimber. There's one woman interested in me. There's probably more.
It was nothing.
I should make myself available.
Pete playing the field is in a darkened room with other people on headsets.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of Call of Duty to play back then, Kimber. But no, bless her, she took me back. Look, here we are, you know, a few years down the track, 3 kids under 6.
I feel like you'd have a lot to overcome. If you get back with an ex, you have to have some pretty serious conversations about how it all went pear-shaped and how you can get over it.
Yeah.
And I think for me it was kind of like, oh, we might as well.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's never a great sort of impetus to get into anything.
And then when you wanted to break up, you're like, yeah, we might as well.
Yeah, let's not speak of this again.
Did you and your ex give it another crack? That's what we're after this
week.
Whether it was good or whether it was bad, whatever. Right, let's just hear from you. Hayley in Ballajura, good morning. Did this happen with you?
Yes, it did.
How did it come about, Hayley? How did you get back together?
So he found out that I was seeing someone else.
Now he said, turns out I do want you now.
Yeah, we had a massive conversation. We sorted everything out. And here we are, just about to celebrate our 3rd wedding anniversary.
Oh, nice
congratulations.
One.
Yes.
Hayley, can I ask, looking back, the reason that you broke up, was it significant and it meant that you both changed and could come back together? Or was it just that you pretended that never happened?
No, absolutely. So I was kind of in a harder position. My daughter and I just lost her father about 18 months prior. And he'd probably about 2 years before been divorced.
Okay.
So both of us weren't in the best headspaces. Yep. But, yeah, it worked. We just kept coming back to each other.
Oh, that's nice.
Beautiful.
Love finds a way.
It does, doesn't it?
It's beautiful.
It's very healing.
Rihanna in Baldivis, hello. You and your ex give it another crack, or this is about your mum?
Yes, no, not me. Hi, guys. This is my mum. So my mum and stepdad, who are now married, they dated before her and my dad were together. So, like, my mum and dad got divorced when I was, like, 18.
Yep.
And before that, my mum and my stepdad used to date in high school. So it was her ex.
That's cute. Was this like they met each other on Facebook again, Rihanna?
No, I think they always like, because they were really close and like families, you know, like obviously grandparents dying and stuff. Like they always kept in touch like once a year, I think.
Okay.
obviously both the marriages didn't work out and they got back together. And it's like the best thing. They've got all these photos of when they were 15 and stuff, and they're both really happy, and it's really good. That's beautiful.
It's like waking up after a big night, isn't it? It's like, you know, you started blank. Bang, here we are.
I was going to say, woken up after a big night plenty of times and been like, nope, let's not do this again. I remember why, and let's not.
Clint in Armidale, what do you got for us?
How you going? Yeah, well, mine was about 20 to 25 years when I reunited with my high school sweetheart.
Really?
Yeah.
And how did you reconnect?
We just bumped into each other up at the shopping centre. We never broke up on bad terms. No. I was a pro motocross rider and we just lost contact.
Yeah.
And then we bumped into each other something like 20, 25 years later, reunited, got matching tattoos, and then it all fell to pieces.
Oh, have you had a cover-up yet, Clint?
No, because it's a barcode. It's just a barcode that says her initials and her birthday, and she has the same on her. So.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Have you ever tried scanning that barcode, Clint?
I have.
And?
It says, silly idiot.
Nice one, man.
Last one here. Sharon in Gosnells, good morning to you. You and your ex giving it another crack?
Yes, good morning, guys. Love your show.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Hey, yeah, my high school sweetheart and I, after 32 years, caught up after me being married for 27 years, having two kids and being single for 10 years, decided to catch up with him on Facebook, and it turns out we've lived around the corner from each other all these years.
Wow.
So we're both selling our homes. He's just sold his home, I'm selling mine, and we bought our forever home together.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Sharon,
great time to be selling your home, mate.
Really, really nice.
I'll tell you what, is it just me? Are you reflecting momentarily on the people you dated in high school and think, never again? Like, if I ran into the street, I'd never consider, let's do this.
I wasn't doing that, actually, because Sharon just made me think about the fact that my wife and I, T, lived close to each other for so many years in different cities in the world.
And didn't know.
And didn't know each other. And it was like the universe was trying to get us together.
And I wasn't doing that because I never got a date in high school.
No.
So there you go.
He was ducks of his high school and worked as a brickie, a shop assistant, and at an abattoir before finding a career in comedy. What a man. Please welcome part of the Mix 94.5 family, Hughesy.
Great to be back with you, legends. It's just wonderful. And you've got to, I think we should put in a panelist on the Masked Singer, guys, on Channel 10. So that's where I've ended up.
Is that a good thing, though? Is that the progression for your career that you've you're going upwards to the Masked Singer?
When I was in the abattoir, I was just dreaming of being in a flamboyant suit, sitting on a panel next to a Spice Girl. So, which is what's happened. Mel B, one of the Spice Girls, has joined the panel this season, and we've already started filming. And it's getting hectic up there.
Now,
hectic.
I like the cut of Mel B's jib. Is she a nice lady to work with?
Yeah, she doesn't pull her punches.
No.
She was called Scary Spice for a reason,
mm-hmm.
And she's certainly blunt in her assessments of some of my guesses for the people under the mask.
Okay.
Yes.
But, you know, you're not there for accurate guessing, are you, Hughesy? That's not why they got you in.
I'm a gambler. I'm a 1,000-to-1 shot. I just want to bring the big one home. So, but she knows everyone. So when I say it's Beyonce, she says, I know Beyonce. That's not Beyonce. I'm like,
oh, yeah, right.
Can't I dare to dream?
Do you think she's lying or she legitimately knows Beyonce?
Of course she does.
No, she knows everyone. Her sister went out with Jay-Z.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. What's Mel B's sister's name?
Danielle, and she went out with Jay-Z back in the day. So
that would have been a long time ago, because Jay-Z and Beyonce have been together for a while.
Yeah, but they're Hollywood relationships. Come on.
They never break. Yeah.
Everyone's got a claim to fame.
Yeah.
It was before this gets picked up by a news website, it was before Beyonce. Right? So I've got to be very careful because when I talk about the Masked Singer, it ends up with headlines. One of the headlines the other day was that Dave Hughes and Mel B are having a massive fight on the Masked Singer. Mm. And we were, and part of the reason we're fighting is because, you know, I said that I think one of the people behind the mask is Pavarotti, all right? And she yelled, He's dead.
In fact, more chance that it's Jay-Z than it's Pavarotti.
I'm like, can you break it to me gently?
I
mean,
that's... I didn't know.
How far off are we before the Masked Singer is back on our screens again?
I think it's a couple of weeks, actually. Yeah, so look out for it on Channel 10. So yeah, we're nearly to the end of filming. So, and hopefully we get to the end of it, because it is it is heated on the desk. But behind the scenes, me and Mel are actually friends, right? So she's taking my wife and a couple of my daughters to a theatre show, actually, in a couple of days. So yeah.
What are they saying?
I don't know. Yeah, she didn't invite me.
If you can spend the next few weeks trying to get some Spice Girls gossip about possibly their upcoming reunion tour.
That'd be good.
She's very excited about it. Yes. Here's another one, though. I said to one of the masters, I think it's Eddie Murphy. And she's on the set, she's, you know, we're filming. She says, he's the father of one of my daughters. It's not Eddie Murphy. I'm
like, he does know everyone.
Hughesy, nice to catch up with you, mate. We'll catch you in a week. On the air this afternoon as well, and we look forward to the Masked Singer back very soon, eh?
On your legends.
Thanks, mate. Bud.
Oh, my God. I don't know what I'm going to do with me dog, Florence.
Oh, why?
You know how much we love her.
Oh, yeah. She's adored.
She's adored. She's, you know, she's coming up to four. Well, she'll be four at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think that... whatever training I know, you know, they say you can teach an old dog new tricks, but I get the feeling that whatever training, and there's not much that we've given her, that's sort of it now.
Yeah, I think you definitely trained her. You gave her lots of different training, but just didn't really commit to any of them long term.
No.
And hoped that the idea of sort of telling her that the rules were there would just sort of eventually just fade in, she'd do it.
And I've realised how clever she is, and I know this is, what do they call that, anthropomorphising her, she's a human, but she knows that I get my ego kick out of, like, feeling like I've got some semblance of control, right? So when we're at home, like, we had Nuno over for dinner on Friday. She's around the dinner table, and we don't allow that. And I do my full, Florence, bet! Go on your bed! Bit, out, bit, right, and she goes.
And she goes, there's guests around and I want Dad to look good.
And I walk around with my chest out going, look at me, I've got control of my universe, right? But we know, she's got one rule, really, one rule. Don't get on the couch or the beds. That's it. Right? That's the only thing we try and keep going. And so she's got a beautiful bed downstairs. She's got a beautiful bed upstairs. She's well looked after, but please don't go on the couch or the beds.
Mm.
Now, we know that she doesn't listen to that.
No.
Because every morning, as I've told you, at 4 a.m., my feet hit the floor upstairs in our room. Her feet hit the floor of her getting off the couch. This is no crap. We pass each other on the stairs. Good day to you, sir.
And the end of the couch has her body print basically in it.
We know, right? And my wife tries to barricade. T tries to barricade the couch.
Oh,
with
no
using
chance.
Like stools and things. Like, but just like the French revolutionaries storming the barricades at the Bastille, she still gets on.
Yeah.
Okay. So we went to basketball on Saturday morning, and for a bit of a laugh, we thought, let's film time lapse and just see what she does when we're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have been away for 2 hours, something like that. We filmed it. From the second the car backs out, she jumps onto the couch and remains there in full, beautiful HD video till the moment she hears the car pulling up. The head goes up. She's back on her little platform.
What I love is that, having watched the video,
yeah,
right, it's not even, it's, you know how you say, like, you know, you humanize her to a degree,
yes,
right? What I saw at the end of that video is the same thing that I've seen any human do. I've done it myself.
Yes.
Like, I do it when, you know, Liz takes the kids out and I'm like, yeah, you know, scrubbing the bench or something.
Oh, you had a busy morning while you were gone.
Yeah,
yes.
Get on the couch, play Xbox, and then hear the garage door come out and then jump up. Now, she did the same thing. Totally. She didn't get back on her bed.
No.
She actually ran around like she was doing things.
Oh, yeah, she was at the door when we opened the door.
She'd been busy all day.
Wow, that 2.5 hours flew by. Shall I put a little edit of that video up?
Yes, please. It's a ripper. Okay. All right. We'll put it on our socials. Big Sunny 4.5. Check out our Instagram and Facebook. Pete, Matt, and Kimber.
Guys, I was wrong. What? I'm not afraid to say I was wrong.
You were wrong.
Turns out there is a purpose for mosquitoes. I'm as surprised as you are. I know that you're wondering, why would a mosquito bring anything good to our lives? And they don't, really, generally
speaking.
Well, they kill
lots of people, don't they?
They do. They kill lots of people every year. They're extremely uncomfortable and itchy. They love me and destroy me, and I've never gotten along with them.
Okay.
Turns out they're important. And they don't muck around in China either. My goodness. The local police in China were investigating a burglary. Not even a murder. Nothing really. Like, it's a burglary.
Right.
Right? And while they were investigating the burglary, the police thought, it looks to us like maybe the suspect who broke into this apartment actually stayed in the apartment overnight because they found a bowl of noodles and some eggshells in the kitchen.
Oh, well, okay, yes.
That's and they so went, good.
I think yes. That person's made a meal of it. So they're like, they've probably stayed overnight. Nice, they've spent some time here.
Get a dink.
Yeah.
And so they found a squashed mosquito on the wall. Someone had given it a bit of a whack.
Okay.
And so they tested the blood from the mosquito.
Just in case it had happened that night.
Just in case. And it revealed this person's DNA, who was a regular, like, problem in the town, who had a regular criminal conviction. And so they busted them 19 days after the burglary, busted the person, and they were able to solve three other cases linked to the same man based on the blood they found in the mosquito.
This is amazing.
That is incredible.
And that Jurassic Park music is everything, Pete. Thank
this
you.
This is just perfect.
So scary, but, you know, sounds so incredible.
Yep.
Until you're the poor bloke that's accused.
Yes.
And what if you didn't do it? What if you were in the apartment below and you got bitten by the mosquito and then it flew up to the next apartment?
There's mosquitoes everywhere carrying my blood right now that I should be very concerned about.
Yeah.
You're right. This is unnerving.
Yeah.
Bloody China. Keep freaking us out. Can you get that? Hey, get that. Yeah. Get that. Thank you.
I mentioned a little, remember a few months ago, sort of, my wife and I were toying with the idea of selling our house. It was a big laugh.
Like, we laughed for days.
God, you're mad, mate. This is crazy. And then we got a real estate agent in and sort of, he went, probably get this for it. We're like, okay, we might sell our house. Yep. And then another real estate agent, the same thing. Okay, we'll do it. And then, you know, we sort of put it on and then we were going to take it off and we put it on and then we got an offer and the offer got accepted and now here we are.
You really thought it through.
No, not at all.
It was a great idea.
No, I didn't think it through. It was quite impulsive, actually.
Mm.
Now that we've had time to reflect upon it, in fact, I reckon probably the Saturday morning after the Friday that we signed the documents where my wife and I were on the floor of our office holding each other and crying, wondering what the hell it is that we've done. It was probably a real testament to how impulsive it was.
Well, but, you know, it makes a change because usually that's what I do listening to our Saturday's Best Of show. So I lay on the floor and cry.
So this is so true. So here's where we find ourselves. We've now had about three, four weeks to sort of get out into the market and have a look.
Okay.
And every opportunity we're taking at the moment to go and survey things. And I can tell you it is a mess out there.
Brutal.
It is an absolute hot mess.
Is that because you're like, let's face it, you're walking into Home Opens and you're going, they're asking 150K too much on this.
Like on something worth $300,000 less than the asking price.
Yeah.
Like,
that's not a surprise, right? I mean, the fact that you guys got more for your house.
It's a surprise when you're out there.
Well, yeah, I know, but prices are going up. Yeah, for everyone.
But as well sure. So like selling a hot market, buying a hot market and, you know, don't buy in a hot market again.
Right.
Wait for the property to cool off.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because you've got so many options with your dog and your three children.
Well, weren't you going to move in with the folks? That was the whole point.
Yeah, you know, again, sort of time to reflect on that.
Sure.
Not a great idea.
Yeah.
But the thing that is exacerbating the situation here in WA at the moment is our rental market is as equally, if not worse, cooked than our housing market is. So, you know, renting a house. So, like, you go into Home Opens at the moment, there are heaps of people there. Like, you know, you're paying like $200 above realistically what the property should be worth to rent it out. And, you know, it's tight and all that sort of stuff. It is shocking. That's so terrible. To those of you out there who are in amongst all of this at the moment, I feel you, because we're going through it as we speak, and we're right there.
Oh. Well, if you need any assistance when you need to get rid of the children, because I know a lot of people, when they're moving into places, having difficulty taking dogs and stuff, so they're having to find people to rehome their pets temporarily. Like, I'm sure Matt and I can find somewhere to put your kids.
If you could, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that.
It'll be fine.
Thank you so much.
We'll look for you. We know how important it is.
Yeah. Well, it was very apparent to us just how explosive the market is over the weekend. So yesterday we took the kids to Winter Wonderland at the Perth Convention Exhibition Centre. Mm-hmm. And then we went and had lunch out in Inglewood, went to a place called Hood Burger. It was quite lovely. And then I was sort of flicking through Inglewood. I was like, oh, let's have a look at Inglewood. And came across this house. It was quite nice. You know, and it was open in a half an hour. I was like, oh, great. We'll finish our burgers. We'll run over there. Now, we've done okay. Not mind-blowingly good, but we've done okay to be able to push our budget if necessary. Mm-hmm. And I've never had this opportunity before, so I've walked into this house in Inglewood.
Inglewood? Okay. Right.
Yeah, Inglewood. I mean, Matt and I are already priced out of the market. Well, we haven't even walked in.
Oh, I'm already thinking, I don't know nothing about real estate, and I'm thinking, you idiot.
Not knowing a thing about Inglewood. I've walked in, and I've like put my hand out to shake the real estate agent's hand. I'm like, g'day, mate, how are you going? And I said, yeah, you know, going good. You know, just got the kids outside with the missus. I'm just going to take a quick look. And he's like, oh, okay, great. And I was like, you know, what are you? Oh, this is me budget. And at the point that I said the budget, you should have just seen the colour drain from this bloke's like he went from friendly real estate agent to get out of here.
Oh, yes. That budget. Let me show you under the stairs.
Yeah.
They converted this into a...
We call this the Harry Potter, if you'd like. That's a Harry Potter reference because he lived under the stairs for
did
a bit.
He? Okay. Yeah.
You got pretty womaned.
Yeah, I did.
You can't live in that area.
And it was sad. So,
sorry, mate.
Yeah, that's all right.
You'll show him just like she did in Pretty Woman.
Thanks. Me dress in high heels and everything.
Yeah. When you find your Richard Gere, you can go back and you can buy that place.
Thanks.
And buy another one as well.
Start to feel a little bit sunny. Thanks, guys. Bring down the
room, footy is Barra's game. Insurance is RAC's. RAC Insurance. For the better.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. But it's bloody awesome on a Barramundi.
Barra, how would you like to start, mate? Where are we going to first?
I think we probably have to start. We probably have to mention a certain Queenslander off the top after one of the most incredible final rounds of golf of all time, particularly at St Andrews, which is the home of golf.
Yes.
Finished about 2 a.m, so I'm a bit bleary-eyed myself. But Cameron Smith, the only player with a mullet to win the British Open. Just absolutely sensational.
So proud.
Is that how they've sold him?
Yes.
The only player with a mullet.
I'm just wondering how long it'll last now. Because once you win the British Open, now called the Open Championship, it's quite prestigious.
Yes.
So maybe he tidies himself up, I'm not sure. But he's very Australian. First Aussie since 1993 when Greg Norman won. He was born in 1993, so it's quite a record. Fifth Aussie to win the Claret Jug all time. And he was asked after the event, what are you going to do now to celebrate with that famous Claret Jug?
Perhaps you can tell us how you're going to celebrate tonight with the Claret Jug.
I'm definitely going to find out how many beers fit in this thing, that's for sure.
So proud.
Such an Aussie.
It's sort of good and it's not that good. You know,
right. Like sort of I'm weird. In the middle of dry July, mate.
Don't remind me. Apparently it takes 2 cans and he said he's going to scull it 20 times. So he really went on with it. But one of the great final rounds, 8 birdies, 6 on the last 9. So 6 of the last 9 holes, he actually got a birdie, which is quite remarkable.
Hmm.
You're looking at me like, well, that sounds good.
Oh, no, I'm all on board. You know me.
I love
you
those eagles and birdies.
I wouldn't stay up till 2 a.m. watching it, but, you know.
Speaking about eagles, they can finish last now.
Good for them. Yeah. Oh, congratulations, eagles. Good on you. Well done.
And what are they called on the back page?
The Worst Coast Eagles, because it could be their worst ever year.
Sad.
You're hating it, aren't you?
Does it hurt your feelings, though, to watch it, Barra? I mean, you're a former Eagle. You're always going to be connected to the club. Do you watch it and you go, this is actually hard to watch?
It pains me to see, and I to be the worst ever season out of 30-odd years is pretty tough. But I think they've just got to bite the bullet. And if it happens, it is actually the best thing for the club. It actually is the best thing for the club.
For the older players, though, that they know they've only got a couple of legs left in them. And
Josh Kennedy especially. Dockers outplayed by the Swans. They changed tactics.
We've changed their name too. Dismantled Dockers.
Not flag mantle anymore.
Not flag mantle.
Giving that the flick.
Dismantled.
Huge game Friday night. I know you got your mum's birthday, and I love your mum, but jeepers, you might have to just sneak away early.
Here's the deal, right? So it's mum's birthday, and we're meant to be bowling in the afternoon. Mum wants to go bowling.
Ten pin
bowling. Uh-huh. Not bowls. Not there yet. Still a little while off. And then we're off to a cheeky little restaurant in Vic Park for a few pizzas, but it's going to be one of those. Guys, I know it's mum's birthday. Mum, I love you. We'll blow the candles out, but hang on. I'll be on my phone watching the... Because it's a big game.
Where are they? The G?
Yeah, they're over in...
Marvel Stadium. And if they lose, they drop out of the top four because Collingwood will win. They're playing Essendon. So massive game for you.
And the thing is, like, North Melbourne just knocked over the Tigers. Like, over the weekend. So the Tigers are going to be up and about,
it's
fit
huge.
And fire. But we do love Marvel. We love a clean deck. So
and you know what? Yeah. It's retro round. So you're wearing that old jumper with the 3D
anchor
on it. The one that actually killed the anchor. Because when that people saw that, you go, mate, got to get rid of that anchor. That's terrible. Okay. That's what actually happened.
And I don't want to get too footy here because, you know, we're not that sort of show. But you say that Essendon are not in the worst form.
No, they're
the
not,
Mark. So they
but
could.
Collingwood's won eight straight. Eight straight Collingwood's won. So I reckon they'll beat them. And so you must win. Oh, mate,
Nicky
40
Jr.
possessions.
40 possessions.
Unbelievable. What about the kid, Chad Warner? Peter Sumich discovered him.
Really?
Sorry to mention the Sydney Swan player, but he killed your guys. He was amazing. Yeah. Oh. They'll bounce back.
After above the break. All else, thank you, Barra, and I hope your mum does really well at 10-pin bowling.
Thanks,
and I look forward to Barra's report on her incredible skills.
And what she does with the claret jug.
Something really strange happened to me on the weekend.
Mm.
Go with me on this. It's because it's something I'm going to have to describe, but it was really unusual and it also felt spiritual and a bit eerie.
Okay.
Right. With so you. Driving down the road with my partner, we went up to Bindoon on the weekend, mm-hmm. right? We were coming back down on a country road and it was dark, right? It was in the evening. So it was like 7 o'clock at night or something. And in the distance, there's no other cars coming. There's nothing there. And then as in the distance, I can see something, a shadow or something on the road. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is that? Like a fair way out. As we get closer, discovered it's an owl. Now, the owl was flying.
Oh, okay.
So the owl was flying at our car level directly towards us. So in the distance, I saw it flying in the line. But, you know, I could see, like, obviously shadows and darkness. But, like, as it came closer to the car headlights, I mean, when I say it flew over us, I mean my partner and I ducked in the car.
Wow.
Right, you know when, like,
there was
nothing. This thing was
dry.
This thing was flying directly at us, and there was. And I guess you're traveling at about 100 k's out there.
Yep.
And so we both went, "Whoa!" We both ducked and went, "Whoa! That was oh my god! That was an owl! That was so bizarre! I've never seen an owl do that. It was like we were being swooped by it." But also I've just never seen it keep that track on the road the way that it was.
I was staying really flat, yeah.
Well, yeah, because it just stayed flat this whole level. And then, I mean, I don't know how much it missed my car by, but, I mean, we were seeing its belly, right?
Well, fortunately, they can see in the dark quite well. So,
but, I mean, do you know that they would avoid a car? I mean, I don't know that an owl, like, dead set, I was like, this thing could go through the windscreen, and it came at us quickly.
Well, as you know, I have a degree in owl.
Now, here's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
We ducked. We were like laughing about, oh my God, we both ducked. And I'm like, well, of course we ducked because if that thing came through the windscreen, we were going to be in danger, right? We keep traveling. Less than 10 minutes later, it happened again. It happened again. And
same
now I'm,
owl?
Well, this is it. I said to him, oh my God, what are the chances that we're being stalked by the same owl? But I've looked it up and owls can only travel at 60 kilometres an hour.
So it's a different owl.
It's a different owl. Tell me that's not weird. Have you ever, like, we've done a lot of country driving. I've never seen an owl.
Two owls nearly hitting your car.
Driving
it's not very
car.
Wise.
Well, the second one that's did one exactly thing. The same move, just slightly above the car, but not quite as low. Like it was just maybe another 10 centimetres in it.
I mean, I've never encountered an owl like this. I mean, I've seen owls from time to time, and I've even like been at, you know, places where I could put an owl on my arm.
It was but so I've
never owl me arm.
Owl me arm.
Owl me arm.
You sure it wasn't a new supernova multi-nova camera? Multi-nova, not supernova.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
I'm worried now. Well, I did a quick search, though. I did do a search to see what it meant. And some said, if an owl flies over you, it's a symbol of wisdom and intuition. It means new beginnings and creative influence.
Yeah, but twice?
Well, it also the
it's
other
cancels it out. Yeah. Well, it's like J-Lo and Ben Affleck again.
I thought it might have been one for each of us.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was like me and my partner.
Oh,
right? But then I also saw another second website that said, if an owl crosses one's path, it means someone is going to die.
Oh, good.
So feeling great, guys.
Something to talk about next week.
Feeling great.